Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening, and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm so excited about our guest tonight. This has been a fabulous month. We're in May, and I have with me Raven Blair Glover. She's a motivational speaker and the host of Amazing Women of Power Radio Network Broadcasting. Raven, are you there?
I am here, live and in living color from California.
Hi. California, I am so excited. We've known each other for years.
Years. Absolutely.
You know,
I was just getting in the trenches when I met you, and you were one of the people that, you know, you just reached out and said yes, and you helped me. And, girlfriend, from my heart to yours, thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, you are welcome. You have had an extensive career over the years that I've known you. Now, we've never physically met, have we?
Yes. No, we haven't.
Yeah, we have never physically met, but we've been communicating and doing business and networking for years. And you're one of my favorite people. So I love you and thank you so much for, you know, just answering and being willing to be on Hot Topics from the Soul.
Are you kidding? I feel honored. I feel honored. And, you know, seriously, when you're first starting out in business, one of the hardest things to do is to ask for help, you know, because you don't know what they're going to say. And you're stuck in fear, but you're confused. And, you know, I always like to use, your boy, Les Brown, when I'm speaking, and I tell people, you know, I heard him years and year after year say, you got to be hungry for success, you know. But I never really meant the true meaning of that until, you know, when my life changes, you know, Valerie, at the hospital when Mother was sick. And, you know, I knew that I couldn't keep on doing what I was doing or I was going to keep getting what I was getting. And I really found out what Les meant when he said, you got to be hungry for success. And that means you got to want it so bad that you get past the fear and past the ego of trying to do everything on your own. And you will reach out to others. And it seems like when you open yourself to that opportunity, you know, I think it's I'm a very spiritual person. I wasn't always like that, but my journey, the longer I'm in this journey and the longer I live, the stronger my spirituality gets. And it just led me to you and several other, a handful of people. And you guys said yes at a time where, well, I was even barely beginning. Valerie, I believe when I interviewed you on Women Power, you were like, maybe the sixth or seventh person I interview. I hadn't even been up and running, you know, half a year. So, again, you know, I publicly want to thank you so much because that means a lot when people first start out. You know, that's the hardest time because everybody wants you to have that experience. You didn't ask me, well, how many listeners do you have and all the questions to shoot me down. You know, once I told you and shared my story with you and my why I built Women Power Talk Radio, you know, you were on board to help the baby boomers go for their dreams and visions. So you all that bag of chips and then some, and you better know it.
No, I do it too much, but, you know, I just really liked your spirit. I liked your tenacity, and I was actually honored when you asked me to be on your show back then. And, of course, I was green, didn't know anything. I was used to working in the background, you know, representing Les Brown for 17, almost 18 years now. and we've traveled the world, and I managed his speaking career. I managed his events and trainings and workshops. I even started his platinum program. So the platinum speakers that he has is a result of that foundation that I laid to make that into the reality that it is now. But all that was a lot of work, and a lot of work's behind the scenes. And see, a lot of people don't want to put in the work to get to the next mm-hmm. level. They always want to be on the forefront. They want their names called, their names mentioned, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to do was to build my own path, build my own name, and I didn't care how long it took to do it. So, you know, being that you've been established yourself, how did you take the steps to operate in your power?
That's a good one. Well, I got to give you kudos again, because if you remember when you came to my show, you had just released From Pain to Power, I think. Was that the name of your first CD, or the one that you came on the show? Did you have one called From Pain to Power or something like that?
I had a CD called From Pain to Power. I had released my book, my first book, mm-hmm. From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Now, to date, I've sold over 10,000 copies of that, and I sold mm-hmm. those 10,000 copies by me selling them, not by putting them on Amazon, because I didn't know anything about Amazon back then, and not from me, you know, putting it in Barnes and Noble or anything. I sold those 10,000 copies by me doing events and speaking and traveling. So that was a lot of books, and I know I sold that many because that's how many I had ordered, and, you know, I was ordering like 2,000 at a time, and every time I sold out, I'd order another 2,000, so that's why I know I sold 10,000.
Right, right. So, yeah, and girl, that's a lot of books. I got some books out there, but I have never sold that, especially on my own. But the reason I brought that up was because that's really – hearing your story, you know, and even, you know, about you and your children staying in the garage and how you met Les and then, you know, became one of his booking agents and all that stuff. Once you shared your story, it really helped me. It really helped me go from just, you know, doing what I was doing and interviewing people to taking it to a serious level and really wanting to become, you know, truly unstoppable on my journey. Because I remember saying, because at that time, I think I had interviewed Jane Kennedy, actress Jane Kennedy, Claudette Robinson, who was with Smokey Robinson and Miracles, and a few other, Denise Brown, the late Nicole Brown Simpson's sister, and a few other people. But out of all the celebrities that I interviewed, even Fran Drescher, the emails I got the most interviews about was yours, From Pain to Power. And
really?
The reason is, yeah, really. I never told that to you. Wow, yeah,
wow.
It was for years. And as I listened to that, because the more people shared that how that interview affected their life and how much they liked it, I would go back and listen, and it would just give me so much energy, so much drive, you know, and that's why you've always been one of my favorite people, and it let me know that, sure, I want to do the interviews of the celebrities and the icons out there because, you know, when you're in radio, you got to, you know, interview up is what I call it. You got to get those marquee value interviews or you're just another show out there. But mm-hmm. it's by far the ordinary people with extraordinary journeys and lessons and stories are the ones that touch people's heart, are the ones that truly motivate and inspire, because people look at icons as icons and celebrities as icons and almost untouchable. But when they hear a story like yours, you know, living in the garage with your kids and, you know, how somebody just invited you to go see Les and you know, and this opportunity opened up, or they hear stories like mine that, you know, even though my mom was in the ICU unit of a hospital, I had no broadcast experience, none of that, wasn't even on my mind. But then the voice inside me guided me to, you know, hey, you're going to have to be there for your mom. She's going to be okay, but she's going to be different, and she's going to need to lean on you. And I had to step up, show up, and grow up real fast, and that's when I heard Alex Mendojian say that the quickest way to become an expert is to interview experts, and I started doing that. And, you know, and that's how my journey came about. But, again, you know, hearing your story gave me that extra push because I did get no's along the way. And there were times when, I mean, back then I was making $10 an hour working 20 hours a week, and it was like, how can I help mom when I can't even help myself? But listening to your story and stories like yours when I was interviewing people for Women Power, it made the impossible possible. It let me see that no matter where I was today, meaning back then in 2006, I think I started my radio show in 2006, we met sometime in 2006, sometime 2007, and it made me just, you know, keep on keeping on, even when it seemed very dim and very dark, that little spark of light, it helped me to keep following and push hard, to push past mm-hmm. my pain to my power so I can live my purpose, Valerie, but not live my purpose solely, but to live my purpose with a definite purpose. And knowing what that definite purpose is, as Napoleon Hill says, late great Napoleon Hill says, that's what's important. That keeps you going through the thick. You know, that keeps you mm-hmm. Pushing past the pain and pushing past all the defeats and adversities and challenges and setbacks, because they're going to always come. We just got to have a strength like you did and a strength like I did and many of the people both of us interview to keep on keeping on. The only difference with millionaires and people that win trophies and medals and stuff like that is because they go through more no's, they work, as you said, harder. They stay up at night working when we're sleeping. You know, they do have the power. And that means they're in the game of life. They're in the game of business, Valerie, just like we are. And they're in it to win it. They're not in it to sit on the sidelines and wait for opportunities and things to be given to them. You know, I know you do, and I know I do, and I know the people we interview, both of us do. We don't wait for opportunities to come to us. We open up the doors of opportunity for ourselves, and we go through
yes.
it. We don't look back, and we're okay to deal. We know there's going to be good. We know there's going to be bad, and we know there's going to be the darn right ugly. And you know what? It's okay. We're going to push past and make it happen. Show you right, show you right. Uh-huh. Up in
Amen.
Absolutely, girlfriend.
So how
girlfriend.
Did you get your nickname, Raven, the talk show host Maven?
Raven, the talk show Maven? There's this singer/motivational speaker. I don't know if you know her. She's pretty well known. Her name is Lynn Rose. And back in 2008, I had went to the Direct Women Selling Alliance Association event in California. This was when I was living in Houston. And I was so impressed at her. I asked her to be on my show, and I told her about three or four shows I had, because at that time I had five shows. And she said,
wow.
Oh, you're Raven, the radio maven. And as I got on the plane going back home, that stuck with me. But I've seen more than radio. I've seen TV, and I still see TV in my future, and it's on my to-do list. Haven't done it yet. So I just changed it from Raven, the radio maven, to Raven, the talk show maven. And that was in 2008. She's responsible for that. And I tell you, once I started telling people when they say, you know, when I introduce myself and I say I'm Raven, the talk show maven, it stuck, girl. You know, I've all got my little hat like Michael Jackson, because I've always been a Michael Jackson fan, with my hat and that Raven, the talk show maven. That's my branding, girlfriend. And it works. Yes, it does.
Wow. Now, you've had the opportunity, like you said, to interview a lot of celebrities and stuff just by getting started. Now, how hard was it for you to, you know, have those doors open? Was it as though as it was with getting how you connected with me to get the Les Brown, or how difficult was that? Because sometimes people think that because people are a certain status that it's unreachable.
Yeah, well, you know, I met you in 2006 or 7. I didn't ask you to help me with the interview with Les until 2008 or 9. And the reason of that is, to me, when I connect with people, I connect with them for them. I've been knowing Claudette Robinson for years. Jane Kennedy introduced me to her. And I have never, ever, ever asked her for an interview or to connect me with Smokey. That's her ex. most people reach out to Claudette to get to know her because of Smokey. They don't care about her. They're trying to get to Smokey. Our friendship, mm-hmm. meaning me and yours, and her friendship means much more than an interview with Les or an interview with Smokey. So I wanted to say that because anybody listening, because I'm going to tell you how I get them and stuff, but I want them to know, you
not
know,
really
that
know how you get them. I don't want you to disclose how you get them, but, you know, just talk about how some of the connections, just like you told me,
right.
just told us about how you connected with Claudette.
Right, right, and I am, but I wanted to share with this point with them because when people go out and get interviews, it's very important that they think about connecting, making life long, what do you call it, lifelong connections and friendships, and not just
right.
go for the interview. You see what I'm saying? Because that makes mm-hmm. them, it makes it easier for them to continue getting interviews, okay? So, like you were his booking agent. And I deal with publicists and different people like that before you get to the icon or the celebrity themselves. And people like
right.
to feel like they're of value, not that you just want to get to less, correct?
Right.
Wouldn't you agree?
Right. That is correct.
Uh-huh. So what I do is I first, you know, decide, make a list, what I call my dream list, Valerie, of the people that – generally, they're people that I have books or listen to audios, people that really mean something to me. I've always was a Les fan, lover, Les Brown lover like everybody else, a big fan of his. I always loved the fact that he, you know, shared that story about his friend Boo, and that always touched my heart when he said that he took his cookbook to the grave with him. And so, you know, I look at people that mean something to me, and those are the people I want to interview, because I can share with them, I can finally have the opportunity to share with them what their story or what they've been doing has changed my life. And that means a lot to me to connect with those people, especially if they're still living. And so I create my vision board or I make a list, and then I just start, you know, going looking for I usually will go to their website, see if there's a contact information or a way to email them, which or who is the person to connect with. You know, you can Google mm-hmm. who represents and that person's name. Sometimes it'll lead you to the right person. Sometimes it'll lead you to a different publicist or something, and people change that within the years. Les has been really lucky. He's had you for a long time.
Yeah.
Most people that I deal
with. Yeah, I've
outlasted.
Huh? I have outlasted a lot of booking agents, et cetera,
oh, yeah.
et cetera.
I bet you have, because most people that I deal with, when I go back to get them for a second interview, I'm dealing with a totally different person, you know. But anyway, I hope that answers your questions. I just go out there and I do my research, but it all starts with me making a list or putting on a vision board the people that I want to interview. And then I also look at, you know, I got to look beyond me, and I encourage anybody listening to this to remember that it's all about what's in it for the person that you're going for. So even though this is a dream
yes.
interview for me, why would they say yes to them? So it's really important to look at, well, what are they promoting right now? Or did they just release a book? Do they have an event coming up? Do they have a charity or a cause that they're so passionate about? What's going on with them? And try to find radio shows or podcasts or articles in Huffington Post or somewhere, you know, that they may have been interviewed on, so you can find out what is their hot button, what's making them go out there and be interviewed now. And that's very important.
Mm-hmm. Good deal. You know, one of the things you said was that when you select people you want to interview, it's because you really want to know about them. You have some interest in them. I have people saying to me all the time, Val, you know so many people. You know this person. You know that one. How come you don't utilize them? How come you don't do this and do that? Well, you know, I've never been one to be a name dropper. I never, and like you said, my friends are my friends. I don't look at them for who they are or what they have because, you know, I'm trying to accomplish my own thing. I'm not trying to ride off of nobody's coattails. I, you know, celebrate and value that relationship. Now, if I need something, I can pick up the phone and call them, and they will call me back because I don't, you know, take advantage of the relationship that we have. They are, if you are my friend, you are my friend. And a personal friend, you know, because when I did my second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past and Free Your Future, I had Malik Yoba do the foreword for me. And then they were like, wow, how'd you get them? You know Malik? I said, yeah, I know Malik. You know, he said, well, how'd you get him to do the foreword? I just asked him. He was a friend of mine, and I was working on a project. As a matter of fact, we were talking. We had a long conversation and we're talking about forgiveness. And then I said, you know what? I'm writing a book. You mind writing doing the foreword? He said, what? You want me to do the foreword? I mean, he was so humbled that the fact that I asked him to write the foreword for my book. And I was like, yeah. He was like, well, I've never wrote a foreword. What do I say? I said, talk about what we're talking about now and then, you know, validate what I'm saying. And then because I gave him a couple of chapters to read, et cetera. And he was so honored to write for me because, but here again, we had a relationship of friendship, you know.
Right.
You know, Seth Joyner wrote the foreword for my second book. Well, you know, Seth and I had a relationship. He's just hilarious. He was this tough, rugged, mean guy. You know, he wanted to be coached by Les, but, you know, to get to Les, he had to get to me. And we was at an event, and I said something to him, and he answered me back real short, real tough and guy. And I said, you know, I'm not scared of you, right? And he just bust out laughing. And from then on, we started talking and laughing and joking. And I mean, he's a great big old teddy bear. And, you know, I could pick up the phone and call him, whatever, and I told him what I was working on. And he asked if he could write the foreword to my book.
Wow.
So
that's amazing.
How he did that's, my third book.
I definitely,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
wow.
it is right. And then one of the things as far as operating in power is to be on assignment. Wouldn't you agree, Raven?
Be on assignment? Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, because that means, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking you're saying to be on assignment, meaning your assignment in life.
Right, your purpose.
Your purpose, yeah. And absolutely, I mean, that's what it's all about. We're all here, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt for a reason, for a purpose. The hard part is figuring out what that is, you know. And I know that's one thing that you help people with, and I do too. You know, so many people are like where I was when I was 55 years, I 55 years old, which was, you know, what is this? I'm 64 now, so it's been 9 years. We just celebrated our ninth year, April 3rd, of being on radio. But, you know, back then, you know, I was settling. I did not know what my life, why I was here. In fact, just a couple years before that had happened, in 2000, I think it was 2008, because I just lost my dad, 1998, I was robbed by gunpoint at my apartment and
wow.
by the mailbox. I turned around, there was a gun to my head. And that's really, I didn't know at that time, but that's really when my life kind of took a U-turn and was headed into this direction, thank goodness. But at that time, you know, all I could do was back up and beg the guy not to shoot me, you know. It was the most scariest thing to be at your mailbox and turn around and there's a gun to your head. And, you know, but the voice inside me spoke to me the first time, or let me say is the first time I heard it. And it said, don't scream, turn around, and be prepared to beg for your life. That's all I remember it said. Yes. And I turned around, there was a gun to my head, and I followed instructions specifically. I reached my right hand out with the purse. I did not look at him. I walked backwards. I had my hand out, taking steps back, saying, please don't kill me, please don't kill me, please don't kill me. And he took my purse. He turned around, and I thought he was gone. And just as I was getting ready to grab my keys out that mailbox and go upstairs, he turned right back around with the head to my gun and said, "Give me your ring." And I gave him the ring. I never looked at him. And the police told me that's probably what saved my life. Well, that the reason I brought that up is for years, because there was a girl right around the corner from me, about a block away, that was kidnapped at the same time leaving 24-hour fitness to her car. I still don't know to the day if they ever found her, but her situation and my situation was happening at the same time. I was spared, and that bothered me for years. That happened in 1998. That bothered me for years. That's why Les meant so much to me, because that was in 1998. Well, I think around, you know, a few years later, I was laying in bed, and I think Les was doing this call, a motivational call or something, a teleseminar. And so I jumped on there, and he was sharing the story with Boo again and sharing the lady at the gravesite, and she asked about his book, and he said, you know, he took it with him, or she said something similar to that. And before you know it, I kid you not, I jumped out of my bed. When Les went off, the teleseminar was over, I jumped out my bed. I went and got a tape recorder. That's how long it was ago, a cassette recorder. I laid in the bed, and I just started talking, just letting it go and letting it flow, just talking from my heart and crying and talking. I still have that tape today. And I started crying and just kind of talking to God and asking, why was I hearing stuff? And that was not in 2006, but a couple years after that is when the whole thing happened with Mom. So it bothered me so much that I didn't know why I was spared. And I began to search for why my real purpose was here. Why was I here? I couldn't figure it out. And it all came together at the hospital February 6, 2006, when Mother was in the ICU unit. And I was in the chapel, and I heard the voice say, hey, you know, you're going to have to step up, show up, and grow up. You're going to have to do something big. Your mom's going to need you. I remember getting on a teleseminar hearing Alex Mendozian say the quickest way to become an expert is to interview experts. And that started my whole journey. Life has been sweet since then. The only downfall is I lost my mom February 6, 2012, the exact date, 6 years later, but she did live for 6 years. She did get a chance to hear me interview Les and Fran Drescher and Montel Williams and Jane Kennedy and some of the people. So she got a chance to see her 55-year-old daughter finally grow up and definitely get away from making $10 an hour, you know, be able to be there and help her. And that's why I'm so passionate about people, you know, really igniting the power of their voice, not just unleashing it, but igniting it by, you know, interviewing and, you know, borrowing the credibility from people that have been there and done that, like Les, from the heroes and sheroes we all look up to. Because, as you know, Valerie, you interview famous people too, that you can't interview these people and some of it not rub off on you, you know. I know for a fact that interviewing Les and Jack Canfield and Lou Gossett Jr., oh, my God, Oscar winner Lou Gossett Jr., I never thought I'd be interviewing that guy from my kitchen table. Russell Simmons, you know, all the people that I've interviewed. And this all started from me listening to the voice inside me guide me at the hospital. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. But, you know, it took you being in a place where you were vulnerable, where you were just submitted and could hear the conversation of God speaking into you, saying what was supposed to be what. A lot of times we're too busy for the purpose.
We are. My son used to tell me years, way before that, he used to tell me all the time, because he, early on after he graduated from high school and he got in college, he got into really learning meditation. He does Buddha and all that stuff. That wasn't for me, but one of the things he learned, he would tell me all the time, Mom, you got to start slow down. You got to slow down. You start listening to the voice inside you, guide you. Had no idea what that meant until, of course, that gun was to my head. And that was the first, you know, I think that was the start of my life taking a U-turn, so to speak, you know, trying to get off track, back on track. But then it was years later before that happened and the hospital situation. But, you know, going back to what you said at the beginning of the call, of your show, rather. I hate to say call, and I know this is a radio show because I hate when people do that to me. I'm like, I feel like saying, this is a show. This isn't a call. But going back to where you started at the beginning, Valerie, because I think it's very important, it's a lot of work. This is not
easy. Lot of work.
A lot of work. You go through a lot of rejection. I mean, I named a lot of people I've interviewed, but, you know, there's been a lot of no's in between that, you know. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of nights of staying up. It's a lot of things of, you know, you do stuff and you don't know if it's going to be appreciative or not. You really have to get way past your ego. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And, you know, here is where that why kicks in, because when somebody says no, that rejection kind of puts a hovering and a fear in you and be like, well, maybe you aren't worthy and maybe you don't need this and not going to get this, so you may as well. It's easy to listen to the negative voices and stuff, but when your why, see, my kids were my why every day. My kids and now my granddaughter is my why. I want to leave a legacy, so that is my why for existing and you know, wanting to see lives transformed that wouldn't ordinarily be transformed had I not spoken and have a voice. So I think that's where the shift takes place, and how the shift happens is when we discover our worth, and the work that we have to put in will be a little easier.
Right, you know. But here's the thing, we can't expect just the easy road, because that's just not going to happen. We really do have to be willing to go the distance, you know, no matter what, you know, to go the distance no matter what. And, you know, be prepared that everything's not going to be a bed of roses, and, you know, and it's okay. Don't let it shut you down. You know, whatever you do, do not let it shut you down. You got to just stay in there and keep fighting and get away from people that are not on board with your dreams. Don't let them kill your spirit, because they will do it, you know. And then, right? They will definitely do it, for sure, for sure, for sure. And you don't want that to happen. So, you know, just put yourself around positive people. It's not easy, but it's worth it.
No, but you know, well, I applaud you, my queen, and I celebrate the work that you've done and the investment that you've taken into your own life, into the lives of so many people, and especially women. But you're not limited to women. You also have interviewed men and sold into their vision and their dreams.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. And you know, it really surprised me that I am, that the men came along. But when we started Women Power, you know, guys used to send their wives there to listen to it, because it was all positive programming. You know, wasn't no men bashing or anything. It was all positive programming. So they got to know us from sending their moms there, you know. And then the same thing, you know, I went from having one show, and I'm proud to say Amazing Women of Power is a multi-award-winning show. It won one of the top 100 podcasts 2 years in a row. Then we started Careers from the Kitchen Table, which also won an award. And then I won an award as a talk show host on WARL AM, beating out Sally Jesse Raphael. Who would have thunk it? You
wow,
know, this was
that's awesome.
This thing, you know, the God planning or speaking to me in the chapel at the hospital. And now, Valerie, as you know, we own Amazing Women of Power online radio station, where now I train coaches and speakers and authors and people, you know, that have a passion and feel like they want to know their purpose, or if they don't know their purpose, I help them find it. But and then we bring them on our platform. We have, I guess, 30 hosts now. I keep it small because I keep it manageable, and we're very family-oriented station. I was at CNN and CBS Radio, but, you know, I stayed there for a couple years, but then I was led to start my own station because I don't like corporate situations. I wanted to create Amazing Women of Power, and again, the guys started asking could they be part, so we celebrate the Amazing Men of Power on Friday. So we have all women hosts Monday through Thursday, and then Friday we have the guys host and then Saturday and Sunday we kind of mix it up. But what I love about where this started is, you know, in the ICU unit of a hospital, now I have my own station. We have our own Amazing Women magazine, and we're about to launch Amazing Women in Business TV before the year is up. So it went from one little, what they say, mustard seed in the hospital to now Raven International Multimedia Productions. All this stuff has transpired. I'm able to do it right from my kitchen table, and I'm able to teach others and pass it on and show them how important it is to get their heartfelt message out, why they're alive, why they're here, live their purpose, leave their legacy, and use it all from the power of their voice right from the kitchen table, and show them how to make six figures and beyond from doing it. So I no longer am the girl that was making $10 an hour at 55 years old, I'm proud to say. But it's been a struggle. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of ups and downs. But, you know, it truly pays off. But sometimes, I'm sure you agree, Valerie, you have to say who motivates the motivator, right? Because sometimes it can be
indeed.
A little. Yeah, especially when your vision goes beyond you. Now it's very little bit of me doing things that I like because I have the network and I have the magazine. So I have to look at what can I give to my host? What else can I give to my contributors for the magazine? And that's even a harder burden, let me tell you. That's a lot right there. But it's worth it.
Well,
and
I used to do magazines, so I know how trying that can be and the work involved with that as well. So I'm very familiar with newspaper and media, print media.
We got to get you to contribute articles in our magazine when you get time. Yeah,
I know you asked me to do one on the Mother's Day thing, and I found it a little challenging to do. So I'll catch you on the next go-round for another article, if you would please allow me to bow out for this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And is your mom still alive?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Good. That's
actually
told me. I think I told you the other day, make sure you interview her. Do you mind if I kind of share our Mother's Day celebration with your audience, just in case anybody's
absolutely
tuning in?
Absolutely, and I want you to give your contact information and how they can connect with you, how they can submit articles, how they can be a part of your team to get on Amazing Power Radio, all of that good stuff.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, Valerie, I'll send you the link to the Mother's Day video, okay, and then you can get it out to them because I don't know how they can. It's on YouTube. I think it's Amazing Moms Mother's Day Celebration, but I'll just send it to you and you can post it if you don't mind. But what we're doing is everybody always talks about the interviews that I've done, and I've already named some of them, so I'm not going to name drop anymore. But they're pretty huge, and they're quite often. But nobody asked me about the interview that I missed, which is the one with my mother. Now, here this whole thing started because of, you know, her very difficult time in the hospital. And it's the interview I miss. It's the interview that I cry many nights about and that I'll never, ever have. So, you know, this being our ninth year of being in radio, I was looking around at everything that has transpired, like I said, the awards and being on CNN and CBS and now have my own radio station, having a magazine, and soon to have our own TV station. And I'm like, this all started with Mom in the hospital and how important, you know, we talked about me getting that interview, but it just never transpired, always waiting for the right time, and the right time never came. So my message now to everyone, Valerie, is to interview your mom. Our goal is to get as many people across the world, because our station reaches 4.5 million listeners in 157 countries. That's where we came from, a kitchen table idea in a hospital to 4.5 million listeners in 157 countries, Valerie.
That is amazing power.
Yeah. And so we want to get everybody to interview their moms. And on Mother's Day, May 10th of this year, we're going to be the only radio station in the world that has done this. This is why I left CNN to start my own thing, because I want to be able to do stuff like this. We're going to shut down our regular station programming at 3 p.m. Central and from 3 till about 8 p.m., we're going to air interview after interview of the people that send interviews in. So we're trying to get as many people to send in interviews of them interviewing their mom, 15, 20, 30 minutes, short interview, and allow us to air interview on the station. And for those people that might, like myself, that have lost their moms, we're going to interview those people about their moms, about what their mom stood for, the lessons they learned from their mom they want to pass on. And so, you know, that's what we're going to be doing, and we're so excited about this. The only station in the world that has ever done it. And then before the end of the month, our Mother's Day issue will also feature these same stories and of people and their moms in the magazine. We're actually going to have my mother and those mothers that have passed, gone but not forgotten on the cover and honor them.
Wow.
And then inside we're going to have the mothers that are present and their interviews and stories. Isn't that amazing?
Wow, that is awesome. I salute you on that brilliant idea.
Thank you. Thank you. So we're asking people, when you see this link, it's me just kind of sharing the message, it's a 3-minute video, to just help us get it to go viral. I don't think we have enough time to get more than we've gotten in now. We probably only got a dozen interviews of moms, but we got lots of people, unfortunately, that moms passed away that we'll be interviewing. But, you know, this is the first year of us starting. Next year it'll be bigger. We'll have more time. And so we're just asking people to, if nothing else, just, you know, share the video. And if we can get one or two more people just to interview their moms. And, Valerie, you have children. I have children. My daughter is going to interview me. My son wrote an article for the magazine. Have your daughter or your son or have, and all of you listening, you know, interview your moms if they're still alive. But also have your children, one of them, pick one child, if you got more than one, to interview you before Mother's Day. And, you know, it doesn't have to be anything serious. We don't want anybody to air their dirty laundry. Just, you know, talk about things that inspired your mom. What did you dream about? You know, how'd you and Dad meet? Or tell me a little bit about grandmother. Or what about back in your day? What are some of the challenges you guys faced? How do you feel about having a African-American president in office? What does that mean to you? And just get them to talk about things that light them up, not things that make them sad, things that light them up. And then say, well, you know, Mom, you know, this interview couldn't be an interview without me sharing how much I love you and sharing 3 most valuable lessons that I learned from you that I intend to pass on or that's changed my life, and tell them how those lessons have changed them. And, Valerie, I just want to reach as many people. I don't care if I would love to hear from them, but I don't expect to. I just want them to do it. And hopefully next year and the year after and the year after, this will one day be a national thing for people to do by Mother's Day.
That is awesome. When you said that, I was having all kind of thoughts running through my mind and stuff and saying, yeah, I need to call my kids and tell them to interview me and talk about me because, you know, they've seen me speak. They've seen me with a lot of different people. They've heard me on the radio. They've heard my story, me tell my story. But for them to all get together and just start asking and ask me specific questions, you know, that's an awesome thing because my listeners know I tell them that with my children, I always have that mommy time with them. Each one of them always will have a piece of me because I always, from the time they were small, took time with them, and they each have a special moment with me. And that's what, because Raven, I know you can identify with this, that when you're going through situations, you don't know how long you're going to keep breathing because it is rough out there.
It's so rough out there, and that's why it's so important for people to do this. You know, time is precious, and, you know, you never know when that, and I want to say, I'm not trying to, you know, interject any kind of, you know, scarcity or getting people worried. I just want people to do this because, especially those people like you, Valerie, and myself, the people that do teleseminar, telesummit, podcast, and radio show, I don't want you to be crying at night like I do and be thinking about, God, I got all these interviews. I would trade Oscar Lugosi Jr. and Les and Jack Canfield and all these people I interviewed, Sherry Shepherd, I would trade all those in for a minute, just a second, a millisecond, to have an interview with my mom. That'll never happen. Mm. And so the only thing I can do is pass on to as many people as I can so they won't find themselves in the same situation.
Now, how can they find you?
Okay, they can find me. By the way, Valerie, I just sent you the link, so you can maybe post it up under this audio on social media, you know, for that. They can go to AmazingWomenOfPower.com, AmazingWomenOfPower.com, and you can click on, there's a pop-up schedule, you can schedule some time with me, and you can get a complimentary Breakthrough to the Power of Your Voice session with me. It's completely free, no obligation, and we really take you through an experience. Also, they can go to RedCarpetInterviewSecrets.com, RedCarpetInterviewSecrets.com, and if they're in the California area, I invite them to come out June 17th, 18th, and 19th, meet me live, walk the red carpet with us. It's going to be a three-day live event where I'll be teaching people how to interview experts, just like we do, and how to get interviewed on more radio shows, just like I'm on Val's now, and also how to interview your potential clients, turning them from a potential client into one of your mastermind members or into buying your course on a one-call close. So I'll be introducing my, you know, my triple, we call it a triple threat, because we teach you how to become a triple threat in your industry by hosting interviews, being interviewed, and doing those pre-client interviews to land them into your mastermind or courses. So I'm very excited about that. Again, that's RedCarpetInterviewSecrets.com.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. Now, talking about red carpet, you're a newlywed.
I am. I went from Raven Blair Davis to Raven Blair Glover, and he's amazing. His name is Khalik Glover. He is a Grammy Award-winning mixing engineer. He worked for Michael Jackson. He actually did We Are the World and other things with Michael, and he worked with the Christine Aguilera, Jamie Foxx, Justin Timberlake. You know, just so many people out there, and he doesn't do it as much anymore because he's building his business now. His passion and his purpose is to teach other people how to have that Grammy sound from their in-home studio, so he's very passionate about that. And, of course, he's helping me with the Red Carpet Interview Secrets, and so you'll get to meet Khalik there. And so we got married December 31st, and he's my soulmate. So at 64, I married my soulmate. Finally got it right, Val. Val said,
wow.
How you keep getting married? That was so funny when you asked me that.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. I saw some of your pictures. I said, what? Wait a minute.
Yeah, girl.
Well, that is awesome.
I always tell people I've always been the married type. The ones I married just haven't. You know, I never leave them. They leave me. I guess I can try to figure out why that's happening. But Khalik and I, I think most of it's been because I'm such a businesswoman. You know, when I was young, my mom and dad, they had a chain of restaurants called Blair House Restaurants in Ohio. So, you know, when you're brought up under that entrepreneurship, it's instilled in you. It took me years to do it, but it was always instilled in me. I did a lot of things that I would try, and it just didn't work. And I know now why, because it wasn't what I was meant to do, Valerie. But most guys are attracted to that, they think, until they really are with someone. It takes a special kind of guy, like your guy and my husband, to really appreciate a strong businesswoman. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, not everyone can deal with someone that's an entrepreneur like us. We don't have a regular 9-to-5 job, and, you know, when it's good, it's real good, and when it's not so good, but you're still functioning, you're still able to move on, you're still able to maneuver. And sometimes they don't understand that, especially if it's someone that's used to being on a regiment. A work
right.
regimen.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Then, you know, we have the opportunity of meeting some powers that be, and celebrities and musicians and all that. And, you know, one of the things that I don't understand, and what I say to a lot of people in relationships when they accuse different ones of cheating is, okay, you had this long gap where there was nobody. Why do you think all of a sudden that I got you, I'm going to cheat? That makes sense. So,
right.
A lot of individual self-esteem aren't as such where that they can be with someone that, you know, to the world, as I should say.
I found that I think we get so into it, you know, going back again to the opening of your show, we just can't get around that. It takes a lot of work. I mean, you really have to be committed for the long haul, you know, and that means you're going
to
miss a few baseball games or soccer games. You're going to miss quite a few dates. You're going to be up at night instead of, you know, cuddling with your person. But they have to understand that, and I think that's the difference. I know that's the difference with Khalik and I. We both, you know, we're older, number one, and we both are such business people, such entrepreneurs, and we have such respect for each other's businesses. We were accountability partners for years, never kind of hit on each other, as you say, or anything. That was strictly business for years. And so through those years with us, just like me and you, with us rooting each other on for their businesses, just touching base two or three times a year. Hey, can you help me spread the word on this book? Or, hey, Khalik, can I interview you? Can you interview me? You know, just kind of sharing things. So that gave us a lot of respect for each other's businesses, so that by the time we did get together, and it surprised us that we ended up together, but by the time we did get together, we had such respect for each other's businesses, and we already knew how diligent and committed to doing the work we were, and I think it definitely made us closer for sure. And on board, you know, we think alike, and you know, we know exactly where each other wants to go in their businesses for sure.
If we were to sign off, which we are going to sign off real soon, is, and I asked you to give me 3 points for how a person can operate in their power, what would you say?
I would say, first of all, own your message and own your purpose. By that I mean, once you identify what it is, own it. Be proud of it. Look for opportunities to share it and spread the word. And don't let anybody dampen it. Owning it means, you know, you're going to stick and stay with it. You're going to be consistent with it. You're going to be persistent with it. And you're going to be authentic. That would be the next word, authentic. Authenticity is so important. So many people try to be somebody else. You know, you didn't try to be an Oprah. I didn't try to be an Oprah. We didn't, you know, we just were ourselves. And people that resonate with what we're trying to do out here will follow us. The others won't. Everybody doesn't love or like what I do. I'm sure everybody doesn't love and like what you do. I'm sure everybody doesn't love and like what Oprah does. But we are true to us. We're true to our purpose. We're owning it, and we're staying authentic. Authentic and transparent, because transparency comes with being authentic. Don't you agree, Valerie?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And see, that's the thing. A lot of people want to live other people's visions and the opinions that they have for themselves. So, you know, that's one of the things I like about Les. He was like, you know, you keep on pressing, you keep on doing, because you know that it is the right thing to do. You don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. You know,
right.
He says that,
and that
over
brings
and over
my third
again.
Point. I'm glad you said that, because my last thing is, don't wait to be great. Do it now. You know, don't worry about dotting the I's and crossing the T's and get it right. You know, so, you know, if you want to do something big, you know, if you want to do anything in life and it doesn't work, guess what? It's not going to kill you. Put your big girl panties on, your big guy pants on, brush off your knees, and do it again. Keep failing forward. Too many people, Valerie, are waiting to dot the I's and cross the T's. And that's why many of us, as Les says, take our purpose and our gifts to the grave site, because we're waiting to get it right. Because we're so afraid. We're stuck in our head. We're stuck in our egos. We're scared to be embarrassed. If I could tell you how many times I've been embarrassed live on the radio, live on the radio.
Oh, my.
Did I say live on the radio? Yes, I did.
Huh.
Where I posted everywhere that this celebrity was going to show up and they didn't show up, you know, where they showed up and everything was going good and all of a sudden technology, you know how when your lights go out for a minute, I forget, the circuit goes out or whatever and it comes out right in the middle of the show. It's been all kind of stuff.
My.
And did I want to cry and scream? Absolutely. You know, but I don't let that scare me. I'm not afraid to fail forward, you know. So I would say own it, own your message, own your purpose, and be authentic and transparent at all times. Yeah, there's something called, you know, TMI, too much information. So, you know, you be transparent enough to inspire people and empower people, not disempower them. And be yourself. Mm-hmm. Authenticity is so important. People will be attracted to who you really are, not who you're trying to be. And last, but like I said earlier, you know, I'm like Les, you know, don't wait to be great. Do it now. And guess what, guys? It doesn't have to be big to be great. It really doesn't. If you want to be a speaker, you have a home. Invite some friends and tell them to invite friends and tell their friends to invite friends and have people in your house. You don't have to serve dinner. This ain't no Mary Kay party. Just invite them over. Have something to drink that you serve afterwards. You get out there and you speak. You do your speak to sell, or on my campus we call it your talk to cash, your presentation, and you close it with them getting into whatever your group coaching call, your mastermind, selling your book, selling your product. You close it right there in your home, and I guarantee you, you can easily get 1,000, 5,000, 20,000, 30,000. It's unlimited. It's not, you know, you can make the most money from a small group. You know, you just
That's
go in there
true.
And you pour your heart out and you have a method to your madness, so to speak. Don't be all over the place, you know, have a structure to your talk where you're seeding in between what you're going to sell them at the end, and then, you know, do your irresistible or enticing close. And they will go for it. You don't have to wait for somebody to open up and come to you and say, be on my stage, or get a radio show like Valerie and I, get a podcast, get on YouTube. You know, you can create a platform. With technology today, there's no holds barred. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it, Val.
Ooh, I love it. I'm talking to Raven Bless Glover. She is a motivational speaker, a coach, and a radio personality of Amazing Woman of Power Radio Network. And you can connect with Raven on Facebook and Twitter. She is doing some phenomenal things, and she just talked about this project that she's doing for Mother's Day. I will post it on my Facebook wall, so those of you that are tuned in, you know, if you want to join in on this project, she's made an open invitation to those that want to be a part of that. And I look forward to hearing you all next week on Hot Topics from the Soul. And to all of my mothers and to my mothers, I wish you the very best Mother's Day ever. And Raven, thank you so much for answering the call and for being that vessel that you are to be a change agent on the planet.
Oh, you're welcome, Valerie. Thank you so much for, you know, letting me come on. And hey, real quickly, you're going to be on my show next week.
Yes,
real this time.
I'm going to be
and,
Woman Empowered,
you guys look
Amazing
out for
Woman
the
Empowered Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can't wait to have you, because we'll be talking about, and for them to don't wait to be great. So couldn't have a better person on than you. Thanks, Valerie.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Everyone have a good night and be blessed. And remember to show love to someone's mother, even if your mother isn't around. Much love tonight.
Good night.